My feet are frozen on this middle ground. The water's warm here, but the fire's gone out. I played it safe for so long, the passion left. Turns out, safe is just another word for regret. So I step to the edge, and I take a deep breath. We're all dying to live, but we're all scared to death. And this is the part where my head tells my heart, you should turn back around, but there's no turning back now. I'm going all in, head first into the deep end. I hear you calling, and this time the fear won't win. I'm going all in. I believe that one day I will see your kingdom come, and I want to hear you say, welcome home, my child, well done. So I step to the edge, and I take a deep breath. I'm not turning back around because there's no turning back now. I'm going all in. Head first into the deep end. I hear you calling, and this time the fear won't win. I'm going all in. All to you, Jesus, I freely give. As long as there's breath in these lungs, I will live. With reckless abandon, my heart in your hands, I surrender it all. I'm going all in. This morning, church, as we continue in this series called All In, we're going to look at the second part, the what. And what is all in, or living all in for Christ, all about? So if you've got your Bibles and you want to turn with me to the book of Matthew, very first book in the New Testament, we're going to look at chapter 13 in just a few moments. But I want you to seriously consider, if you would call yourself, honestly, a casual Christian, a consumer Christian, or a committed Christian. I'd love for you to take the handout that we've provided in the worship guide for you and take some notes. But let's dissect each of those together as we understand truly what it means to live, to go all in. First and foremost, we need to understand this idea of casual Christianity. Casual Christianity. And if I can, let me just be as bold to say, don't be an oxymoron. Emphasis on the word oxy. I'm sure you know what oxymoron is. It's defined as a figure of speech that combines two normally contradictory terms. Here's something you may not know. The word oxymoron in the Greek is derived from the term oxy, which means sharp, and moros, which means dull. This word, oxymoron, itself is an oxymoron. Can I give you some examples? How about dry lake? Fuzzy logic. Living dead. Anybody ever say, same difference? What about once again? Stand down. Security, stand down. How about books on tape? Crash landing. Park drive. Loner's club. Freezer burn. Tight slacks, or if I can for the teenagers. Skinny jeans. Really? No. Plastic glasses. Act normally. Pretty ugly. Work party. And my favorite, how about a meal with some jumbo shrimp followed by vegetarian meatballs, and for dessert, grape nuts. No. These are oxymorons, words that contradict each other. But can I tell you the worst of all, in my opinion, and hopefully your opinion this morning, the worst oxymoron of all time is casual Christian. Friends, hear me say this. There is no such thing as a low commitment version of your faith. Can I say it again? There is no such thing as a low commitment version of our faith. Now, this is honesty time. Please be honest with me so I'm not the only one raising my hand and And I'm talking to the folks in the venue just as much as here in the worship center. If you have ever attempted to live your faith as low commitment as possible, if you would raise your hand if you've ever tried to live this low commitment kind of version of your faith. Anybody? Everybody? I think that's all of us. Yes, we're committed to Christ, but if we're honest, the day-to-day life of Christianity sometimes feels all too casual. Maybe not committed at all. And the opposite, in my opinion, is if we would be willing to be martyrs. Maybe you're familiar with this term more than an oxymoron. I read a quote from somebody who was recently exiled from Russia. His name is Pavla Polas. He said this, "In Russia, Christians are tested by hardship, but in America, you are tested by freedom. And testing by freedom is much harder. Nobody pressures you about your religion so you can relax, and you're not as concentrated on Christ, his teaching, and the way he wants you to live." I'm afraid sometimes in this free country we live in, we are tested by our freedom to not live as committed Christians. You're familiar with the term martyr. A martyr is somebody who's willing to live all out for Christ, and it might mean they're going to die for their faith. Kind of like George. Let me tell you a story. George Atchley, he was killed while serving in Central Asia Mission. There were no witnesses, but the evidence indicates that Atchley was confronted with a band of hostile tribesmen. Of course, he carried a fully loaded 10-chamber Winchester rifle with him and had to choose either to shoot his attackers and run the risk of negating the mission, the work of that mission in that area, or to not defend himself and be killed. Later on, his body was found in a stream, and it was evident that he had chose the latter. Nearby lay his rifle, all 10 chambers still loaded. He had made the supreme sacrifice, motivated by his love and devotion and unswerving faith in the Lord. With the Apostle Paul, he wanted Christ to be magnified in his body, as Paul said, whether by life or death. You see, Christianity, the real Christianity we're talking about today, is not a half-hearted thing, friends. And I'm preaching to myself, stepping on my own toes more than anybody else. It's a going all in. Would you be willing to die for your faith? That's kind of a gruesome question to ask in this place today. But I want you to think to yourself, would I be willing to give it all? Because following Jesus means even to the cross, even to the end, even to a sacrifice. And it is difficult. But sacrifices need to be made to truly follow Jesus. And maybe today Jesus is not asking for us to die. But friends, he is asking for us to truly live. I would also say this. I believe Christianity calls us to be willing to dig deep. What do you mean, Justin? Dig deep. Dive into the deep end as we go all in. Let's be honest. I thought about this. If your Sunday morning attendance is all you have to show for your time with God within a week's time. Sunday morning, let's just say 2 hours you're here. You've focused on the Lord for 2 hours out of 168 hours within a week. I don't pretend to be a math major, but I'm pretty sure that's about 1% of your week belongs to the Lord. That is no way to live out our faith, to train our lives, to truly know Christ, to really call ourselves followers or disciples of the Lord. You will rarely grow in your faith and rarely grow in your relationship and get to know God more deeply at this rate. So I guess the question is, will this casual kind of faith truly last? This morning I would say no. Like those shallow believers in Matthew's gospel, would you stand with me as we read Matthew chapter 13? I'll begin reading in verse 18. Matthew chapter 13, verse 18 says this. This is Jesus speaking. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown into his heart. This is what was sown along the path. Verse 20. As for what is sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives joy with it. Verse 21 says, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. When tribulation and persecution arises on the account of the word, immediately falls away. Verse 22 says, as for those who are sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word and cares, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. 23 says, as for those who are sown, what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. One more time, let me read verse 21 to us. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation and persecution arises on account of the word, immediately falls away. Lord, just speak now and allow us to hear from you and live all in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. That's it right there. I'm just going to close. So maybe that's not you. Maybe you look at verse 21 and you see somebody who has no roots, who hasn't dug deep, who feels like when persecution or tribulation, trials, difficulty comes your way, you fall away. Your casual faith finds you all alone. Maybe that's not you. Maybe you want to be more involved in church. Maybe you want to get to know God more. Maybe you want to dig deeper. I think the next hurdle you and I have to overcome is what I would call consumer Christianity. Consumer Christianity, and I'll give you three examples of consumer Christianity. First of all, think of the contrast between a consumer versus a contributor. Think for a moment with me. Consumer Christianity, in my definition, would be those who shop around for a faith that suits them as well as possible. A little bit of this, that sounds good. A little bit of that, that looks good. Oh, can I get a little bit of this on top? But no, oh, not too much. Almost like a Golden Corral kind of faith. And if you're honest, it's a very inconsistent kind of faith. Because if I read the Bible correctly, there's no adding to or taking away from the Word of God when it comes to understanding Him, knowing Him, following Him with all of our hearts. This Golden Corral kind of inconsistent faith will not get us very far. And friends, when you and I attend church and we see ourselves as a consumer, in other words, what can the church do for me? What am I going to get out of this place today? Let's be honest, every one of us face that feeling from time to time. Or is it about being a contributor? What can I offer to this place? How can I serve the Lord? What can I do to give of my life in this place? Which brings me to the next idea of this contrast, getting versus giving. Getting versus giving. You know this famous quote from one of our former beloved presidents, John F. Kennedy. Ask not what your country can do for you. What's he say? Ask what you can do for your country. Can not the same apply to our church today? Sometimes I think growing up in church, I found myself as a spiritual leech. That's the best animal I could think of to help describe this. A spiritual leech. Let me grab on, sucking the life out of this church or this particular ministry or this person who's pouring their life into me. When all the while, I think God was developing me to be somebody like a bumblebee. You know, bumblebees, they're always on the move. They're spreading the love, moving from place to place, building up this place. They are providing as they land and move on. So are you a spiritual leech or a bumblebee? Somebody who is more about giving than getting. More of a contributor than a consumer. And then, of course, I think about the contrast between good versus great. Oh, it was a good day at church. Mm-hmm. Coming to church is good. Amen. Being the church, being on mission, living out your faith, being who God calls us to be as followers, as believers, as disciples, being the church is great. Yes, coming in here every week, I love it. It's good. But leaving this place and being the church outside of these four walls is great. So I guess I have to ask myself, and maybe you with me, am I going to settle for just being this lukewarm, half-in, half-hearted Christian, or am I really going to, which is good, or am I really going to live that great life of being all in? And that's what I would call committed Christianity. Committed Christianity. I would tell you three things. If you're here today and you're saying, you know what, Justin? I'm tired of, like you read those lyrics of that song by Matthew West just a few minutes ago, I'm tired of letting someday keep me away from today. Does that make sense? Someday I'll do that. Someday I'll live for the Lord. Someday I'll give my heart to Him. Someday I'll finally join the church. Someday I'll finally become that spiritual disciple in my home and lead my children in prayer or Bible study or just love on them like Christ would. Someday I'll do this. Someday I'll serve. Someday I'll go on a mission trip. We can someday ourselves out of today, every day. And you and I don't need to say someday to Christ anymore. So allow me to give us three things that I believe can help us to truly live this committed Christian life, the only version of Christianity I believe that is genuine and true. And the first is this: you and I need to be a true disciple. You've heard me mention that word several times. Martin Luther said it best. He said, a religion that gives nothing, costs nothing, and suffers nothing is worth nothing. May that not be said of us today. A disciple is a follower. The word disciple means a learner. So I guess ask yourself this morning, are you learning? Are you following? Are you committed? Pastor Chris, almost a year ago, challenged the staff to take this book called Multiply. Maybe you've heard him mention it, I think from this pulpit, within the last 9 months. It's written by Francis Chan and David Platt. And it is, in my opinion, the most practical resource for discipling somebody. There's about 24 chapters in this book. And it goes from Genesis to Revelation, from the doctrine of creation to the end times, salvation, following Christ, living for Christ, knowing God's word, being the church, more than any other resource I've come across. And I had the privilege to go through this with John Penny for 24 weeks over this past year. And now I've started it with Stephen McClendon. And my desire, and I think Pastor Chris's desire, has always been, let's be multipliers, not attenders. Let's be contributors, not consumers. So I want you to know that I highly recommend this book. It is the most practical of resources for if you would be willing to say, you know what, Justin, I want to be a disciple maker. Because in my opinion, a true disciple is a disciple making disciple. Period. End of story. Or maybe that's just the beginning of the story. So we made these books available to you. If you want to grab one on your way out, they're at both welcome desks before you leave this building. And if all those are taken, I've got more in the office I would love to hand you. If you would say, Justin, I'm going to commit to meeting with somebody at least 24 weeks within this year. And that's half the year if you're consistent. At least 24 weeks to go through this book to see how we can be better followers, better learners, better committed Christians with the Lord. So maybe even now God would lay somebody on your heart that you could grab a copy of this book from us, walk through it together, and disciple that person. Let's be multipliers. But I would also say in my journey of trying to be a better follower, a better learner of Christ, we need to know that you don't have to be some amazing man of God. You don't have to be some amazing woman of God. You don't have to be a certain age or been a Christian for so long or even be on staff at a church to truly be a committed follower of Christ. We don't have to have it all together to follow God. That's the message I feel like gets lost in so many of our pews in America today. Once I get my life straight, then I'll come to Jesus. No. Friends, the Jesus we worship today says, come just as you are. Not come when you get to be who you want to be. Not come when you think you're ready. You need me now. That's the Jesus we serve, the Jesus we worship. As a matter of fact, let's consider the 12 disciples, the original disciples, the ones that Jesus himself poured into. Imagine for a moment, I came across this, I just had to read it. Consider this letter that could have been written to Jesus about his 12 disciples years ago. And I may have shared this before, but it's too good not to share again. to Jesus, son of Joseph, wood carpenters, or wood crafters, carpenter shop, Nazareth, 25922. From the Jordan Management Consultants. Dear sir, thank you for submitting your resumes for the 12 men you have picked for managerial positions in your new organization. All of them have now taken our battery of tests. We have not only run the results through our computer, but we've also arranged personal interviews for each of them with our psychologist and vocational aptitude consultant. The profiles of all tests are included, and you may want to study each of them carefully. As a part of our service, we make some general comments for your guidance, much as an auditor will some general statements. This is given as a result of staff consultation and comes without any additional fee. It is the staff opinion that most of your nominees are lacking in background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. They do not have the team concept, and we recommend that you would continue your search for persons of experience and managerial ability and proven capability. Simon Peter is emotionally unstable and given to fits of temper. Andrew has absolutely no qualities of leadership. The two brothers, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, place personal interest above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would probably undermine morale. We feel that it is our duty to tell you that Matthew has been blacklisted by the Greater Jerusalem Better Business Bureau. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus definitely have radical leanings, and they're both registered high scores on the manic depressive scale. One of your candidates, however, shows great potential. He's a man of ability and resourcefulness. He meets people well. He has a keen business mind, and he has contacts in high places. He is highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. We recommend Judas Iscariot as your controller and right-hand man. All the other profiles are self-explanatory. We wish you well and much success in your new venture. Sincerely, the Jerusalem Management Consultants. Can I just say this? Jesus didn't call the qualified. Jesus qualifies the called. And when you and I hear the Lord call us to follow him, to be a disciple, a learner, a disciple-making disciple of his, it's not about when we're ready. It's not about when we're trained. It's not even about when we think we're qualified to follow. It's when he says, come, follow me. Friends, let me say it again. Jesus doesn't call the qualified. And man, that is good to hear for a 37-year-old guy who was in high school and had his plans ready to go. Lord, I know what I want to do with my life. Lord, I'm ready to go. Yeah, I know you, and I'm thankful that that happened when I was in high school. And I'll serve you as best I can, but this is my plan for life. Until I spent about a year watching my youth pastor love and serve and disciple and follow Jesus. And here I am today. God's plans are better. God's ways are higher. God knows what he's doing. And I never felt qualified to stand in a pulpit, much less lead a youth group. But friends, one more time, hear me say for you today, he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. Second thing I would say is maybe today you would say, I'm willing to take the next step in my journey. Maybe a 24-week commitment with an individual through a book is not what I want. Maybe it is. But I want to encourage you to be a prayer mentor. Can I just share honestly for a few moments? Pastor Chris, if you're watching, you know this has been my heart. We've had this discussion for the last probably 3 years now. But the Lord has honestly been stirring in my heart for the last several years that there are so many teenagers, whether they're connected to our church consistently or not, who do not have godly adults surrounding them on a regular basis. And on the other side of the coin, there are so many godly adults in this building who feel like, I'm a little older, I've got nothing to offer, I've moved on, I served my time, I'm not sure the Lord has much for me, I'm just kind of waiting till he takes me home. And I don't think that's the attitude we need either. So my heart has been stirred that maybe, just maybe, God is calling some of those adults who think they have nothing to offer the church today. And some of those teenagers who need some godly influence and direction and a mentor in their lives. Just maybe for us to find a way to connect those two people groups. To connect those intergenerational groups that need each other more than you and I could ever realize. You know, the old paradigm, picture this with me. The old paradigm in youth ministry was a student was connected to a youth pastor. Friends, I don't know if you know this about youth ministry, and I've been studying a lot about this the last few years. That is the old paradigm. That doesn't work as well anymore as those students who are connected to a small group leader, a godly adult, a parent who loves the Lord, other parents who want to mentor those parents, and a youth pastor. I'm not trying to say that I can't do my job, but I can't do my job alone. Discipling teenagers is my heart, and I need you. I need your help. So we're going to call this a prayer mentor. Justin, what is a prayer mentor? Maybe that means on a weekly basis, you reach out to a student and you say, how can I pray for you? On a daily basis, you pray for that student by name. Maybe on a monthly basis, you get together with that student. Hey, who doesn't love free lunch? I've got a youth group full of teenagers that love to eat food, especially if it's free. Maybe it's taking a kid out to lunch, hearing their story, getting to know them, praying with them, sending encouraging cards or emails or text messages to them. Friends, I'm telling you, I'm not asking for you to commit every Wednesday night to sit in a classroom with 12th grade boys. Lord have mercy, I would never ask you to do that unless the Lord was calling you. He calls the qualified. But I would say, maybe the Lord is calling you to at least be one of those adults in the sphere of influence of a teenager who needs some godly influence. Would you take your worship guide out with me for just a moment? Hopefully you got a worship guide. Just go ahead and grab it. As you're doing that, I want to tell you a story. You're familiar with the name Miss Pat Thompson. Sits in the back row. One of my favorite parishioners. I think she would say I'm one of her favorite pastors. Right? Praise the Lord. Pay you later. But we had a young lady in our youth group, and I don't think Allison is here today, but Allison Carroll is her name, on fire for the Lord. God got a hold of her heart when she started attending our church just within the last 2 years. I think she may even join this church in the next few weeks. We've been talking and praying about that. But Allison needed some godly adults in her life. And honestly, Miss Pat told me I needed some purpose for my life, regardless of how old I am or what I think the Lord has left for me to do. So I asked Miss Pat, I said, would you be willing to meet with this young lady on a regular basis? Maybe her come over to your house, you guys share coffee together, she does some projects for you, and it started out with, hey, could she do some yard work for you, and you can make a donation towards her summer camp experience to help her pay for that, which they did. But it turned into so much more than that, and Allison would tell you, I'm so thankful for somebody who would take the time to not only listen to my story, but to pray for me and to love me and to be a godly influence that I really don't have much else in my life. Miss Pat would tell you, and I asked her this morning how she would describe it. She said, I never thought when you asked me to spend time with a 15-year-old teenage girl that that would make a significant difference in my life. Well, how can I relate as a 32-year-old woman to a 15. You're welcome. A 15-year-old young lady. And she said, Justin, when we started getting together, it was obvious very quickly. We became friends, and I looked forward to every moment I got to spend with this young lady. She said this, I wrote it down. When you first asked me, I said, well, that won't work. But now that we've shared life together, oh, how it has enriched Miss Pat's life. And friends, I tell you, oh, how it has enriched Allison's life. Just one example of what it means to be a prayer mentor. So on your worship guide, you'll notice on the tear-off portion underneath that little picture that says all in, the opportunity I'm asking for you to pray about and maybe commit to today is to put a little check and write your name at the top where it says, I will be a prayer mentor. Now here is my promise. I'm not going to collect these after the service is over, call you and say, here's the teenager, please meet with them this afternoon as well as twice this week and take them out to lunch three times next. No. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take these names and I'm going to pray for you and pray that God sends you the teenager that you can mentor on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, every few months, whatever your schedule allows. And then I'm going to ask our teenagers, who would be honest and say, I need those mentors in my life? And once I receive a list of those names, I'm just going to pray that God puts those relationships like Miss Pat and Allison have developed together. So would you pray about that? And in the next couple weeks, before the end of the month, before the end of this series, just check that off. You can give it to me. You can drop it in the offering plate one Sunday. You can leave it at the welcome desk and they'll get it to me. I am looking for prayer mentors. No. Our teenagers are looking for godly influences. No. Jesus is looking for disciple-making disciples. And I wanted to provide you with that opportunity. Second thing, or third thing I would say, final thing this morning is this. Let's go back to the idea of this series by just encouraging you. A committed Christian is somebody who says, I am all in. Friends, would you be all in with me today? Let me leave you with this thought. Thomas A. Kempis once said this, Jesus has many lovers of his heavenly kingdom, but few bearers of his cross. My prayer today is that casual Christianity, consumer Christianity, would pale in comparison in this church and in every church across our world to committed Christianity. Friends who would say, I want to be a true disciple. I want to be a prayer mentor. I want to be all in. Let me give you one more resource that I hope will help you. You've probably seen this before. This is called the Next Step in Serving Guide. And in this guide, from senior adult ministry to men's ministry to women's ministry to children's ministry to student ministry to creative ministry and everywhere in between, is every opportunity that we can think of as a staff for you to live out your faith, for you to be all in, for you to serve God, even just in this place locally or around Marshall County. There's a tear-off portion where you could check boxes, turn it in. We'll contact you to give you more information about that ministry opportunity. These are on the welcome desk as you leave. And in the venue, they're on the table where the worship guides are found at the back of the room. Grab one of these. Take it with you. Pray through it. Think through it. Don't ever come to me and say, I just don't know what the Lord has for me to do. I just don't know if there's anything around here that God could use me for. I promise you there is. Because God's not looking for your skills as much as your willingness to serve Him. He's looking for your heart more than your hands. Being all in means being committed. More than a Sunday morning Christian. Being all in means being committed with all of your life. At school, at home, at work, at that party, in our community, and everywhere in between. Friends, gone are the days of casual Christianity, in my opinion. Gone are the days of consumer Christianity. What can you do for me, in my opinion? I'm calling out for followers to stand up with me and say, I want to be a committed Christian. Maybe let's do that right now in both rooms. If you would be willing to say, not to Justin, but to the Lord, I am ready to be a committed Christian this morning. Would you stand just where you sit? Just right now as we close the service. If that's you, if that's your commitment, stand right now with me. Because church, it is time to stand. To be committed. To live all in for Him. To mentor, to disciple. To go all in. I'm going to close this in a moment, but here's the question. What's your next step? Many of you have stood and many of you have said, Justin, Lord, I'm committed. I'm all in. I'm ready. So what does that mean for you? What's your next step? Is it to join this church if you hadn't done so? Is it to follow through from your salvation and believer's baptism to make it known that you believe in Jesus with all your heart? Is it to finally say, I'm tired of living this casual Christianity because it's an oxymoron? I'm going to walk forward and I'm going to talk to Justin or I'm going to talk to Stephen and I'm going to commit my life wholeheartedly to Jesus. Jesus, take all of me instead of part of me, because that really means none of me. Whatever God would call you to do, would you allow this time as we pray and continue in worship to be your commitment time at these altars or come speak to somebody? Let's live all in. Can we pray together? Lord, I guess I'm preaching to myself if nobody else today. God, I'm tired of being that casual Christian. I'm tired of being that lukewarm follower of Jesus. And I'm honestly tired of being a consumer that would say, what can I get from you today, God? Maybe just today you're calling us, you're calling individuals in this place to flip the script, to not look to God and say, what can you give me? What can you offer me? But to say, what can I do for you, Lord? Here I am. Send me. Lord, I'm ready. I hear your calling. I may not feel qualified, but you call me anyway. So God, whatever that looks like for this faith family today, whatever that looks like for every family represented and every individual represented in this place, would you remind us of your call? Would you remind us of our commitment? And would we follow you faithfully? We love you, Jesus. We sing to you now. We respond to you now. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. I'm here if I can pray for you.